this morning, on the fact that America is in great need of another great awakening. That's what the answer is for our country. And this morning, yes, President Obama is going to be sworn in, or in just a few minutes, if not already happened, to be the continuing president of our country. Folks, take heart, because it doesn't really matter who really is in the White House that's going to make a change on this country for good. We've had good presidents before, and that's really not the answer for our country. Some believe that America is in need of political reform, but that's just not the answer. Some believe it's in the need of economical reform, but that's not the answer either. If we could just get these gas prices down, and we can get the economy back with jobs, and get that high cost of living down. Many people think that if we could transform our educational system, that would be the answer. Some people think that moral reform would be the answer. If we could take the biblical stance on abortion, if we could take the biblical stance on unbiblical relationships, that would do it. However, none of these will ever return America to the greatness that she once had. America was a great country, and I'm not talking about economically. I believe she still is a great country. I believe that America is the best country on the face of this earth. But that is not spiritually speaking. But she used to be. She used to be. French writer Alexis de Tocqueville, after visiting the United States in 1831, said these words: "I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there." Keep in mind, this is 1831. "I looked for it in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there." And listen to his observation: "Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power." He said this statement: America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And this morning, 2013, we are on a day in America where, because America has ceased from being good, America has ceased from being great. And I do believe that her lack of goodness, according to the Bible, is taking a toll on her influence across this world. It's happening, folks. And America's decline in greatness coincides with the decline of righteousness. Not just in our country, but let's get a little bit more personal this morning. America's decline in greatness that coincides with the decline of righteousness in our Bible-believing local churches. And America is in desperate need of revival this morning. We are in desperate need of getting God's power upon our lives and power upon our churches. And we have God's presence where two or three are gathered together in His name. There am I in the midst of Him, Jesus Christ said. But folks, we need God's power. That's what we need in our churches today. And the power of God rests solely upon people with the Spirit of God working actively in their life. We need revival. This morning, I'd like to turn your attention to a passage in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in a familiar verse. Matter of fact, it's probably one of the most preached verses when we talk about this subject of revival. And it's maybe one of the most quoted verses that we hear when we talk about this subject of revival. But folks, if you'll agree with me on this, it's just sometimes the most quoted verses and the most known verses that we have in our lives and in our mind that are some of the most ignored verses sometimes. Because if we truly believed and truly wanted to follow 2 Chronicles 7:14, I believe we'd have more people having a revival in our society and our culture today. But the truth is, people under revival are the exception, not the norm. Folks, we need it in North Carolina. We need it all over this country. We need it up in Connecticut. We need God's power to be upon our churches. We need revival to sweep across our land again. And some people say, oh, it will never happen. Well, I believe that we still serve a God in heaven, and we got the Holy Spirit still working in our hearts. And wherever God is working and the Holy Spirit is convicting, revival can happen. Why won't it happen? If it doesn't happen, it's not because of God. It's not because the Holy Spirit isn't working. It's because the people of God don't want to get serious enough with God to really take their life seriously in the presence of the Almighty God. Oh, do we need it this morning? We sure need it. Now, I don't preach very long messages because I'm a short speaker. More ways than one. But I want to turn your attention this morning to 2 Chronicles 7:14, where we'll look at verse 13 first. The Bible says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain. Let's stop there for a second. Look throughout the Bible and you'll notice that drought is directly associated with the judgment of God. Every time drought was mentioned, God was judging. I don't believe God's changed his tactics, folks. And if you've ever paid attention to the news, you look south of where we are into Texas, and you look throughout some of the vast plains and farming communities of our country, and they're experiencing a drought like they've never seen before. I believe that's part of the judgment of God. I really do. But if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send or if I send pestilence among my people. Look at the verse here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. America is in need of a healing, a spiritual healing, a healing that the gospel can only bring and God can only bring. Here in this particular passage, we are looking at one of the most amazing services that have ever happened, where God's presence and power moved in upon the temple as it was dedicated, and God was really working, but God needed to remind his people that his power is not always going to just be there. It's something that when you are truly seeking him and truly humbling yourselves before him and truly wanting what God could do for him, that's when God shows up in a powerful way. And boy, did he show up in a powerful way here in 2 Chronicles 7. But he had to remind them, it's not going to be like this if you turn your back on me. It's not going to be like this if you start to get away from my commandments. It's not going to be like this if you start turning back to those gods that you had such a problem turning to back in the judges' time and throughout different eras. It's not going to be like that if you continue to slide back into worshiping other gods. And he had to remind them that if they ever find themselves needing revival and needing God's healing on their land, they have a waiting and ready and all-powerful God that can help them. But it's not automatic. Because I look at that very first word of 2 Chronicles 7:14, and that very first word is if. Oh boy, if we could just get past that first word in our Christian lives today, if we can get over the word if. Because it's conditional. And a lot of people don't experience the healing and the blessing that living 2 Chronicles 7:14 can bring because we can't get over that first word, if. God's not going to force you to do it. God's not going to make it so that you can't help but live without it. No, a lot of people, they have no desire to have revival in our churches today. Did you know that? There was a survey that was conducted, and it was a survey of a lot of different churches, so you know how that goes. But the survey ended up saying that only, are you ready for this? 24% of people in churches want to see revival or understand revival. And I believe that's probably really lower than that of people that actually understand revival and want revival. A lot of us might say we want it, but we don't live like we want it. Let's look at our passage this morning, because I believe there are several aspects of 2 Chronicles 7:14 that we need to look at this morning. The Bible says, first of all, if my people, first of all, it is the people that God has. Folks, revival does not come to a heart that is not saved. It doesn't. Why? Because it's a revival. Okay? When you get saved, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that you are vived, okay? You are quickened, bam, you are implemented with the Holy Spirit right then, and you are brought to life when you're saved. And praise the Lord, if we could ever just get back to the enthusiasm for Christ we had on the day of our salvation, we'd start getting back to a sense of where we need to be to get revival in our lives. I don't know about you, but I was excited about it. When I got vived, okay, when I got born again into the Spirit of God, boy, I was excited when He quickened me. It was great. I was dead in the trespasses of my sins, but now I'm made alive. Oh, man, praise the Lord for that. These are born again believers. Hey, if my people, which are called by my name, are you saved this morning? Jesus Christ wants to save you this morning if you're not. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ died on a cross for my sin, for your sin. He shed His blood. And if we turn to Him and ask Him to forgive us of our sin, the Bible says He will save you. Do you need to be saved this morning? Do you need to be born again this morning? Because you'll never experience what we need to happen in America and in your own personal life if you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It doesn't happen. And you say, well, you're talking to a church where probably 99.9% are saved. And that's right. But hey, maybe you're not saved. I was 11 years old when I was saved. You say, that wasn't very old. Well, to me, I thought it was, because at 11 years old, I had already been a pastor's kid for 7 years. I had already heard all the Sunday school lessons. I had already heard probably all the salvation. When I was saved, my dad said, what does the Bible say? And I didn't have to look at the Bible. I just quoted it because I knew all the Romans road in my mind. But there's a big difference between your mind and in your heart. And a lot of people are going to miss heaven and go to hell just by about 11 inches. I had the head knowledge, but not the heart belief. Are you one of His this morning? If you're not, what a great day to become one of His. If my people, which are called by my name, why is it my people that can experience revival? Because it is God's people who understand more deeply what freedom is all about. The Bible says in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make ye free, ye shall be free indeed. Man, we understand freedom not just politically. We understand freedom spiritually. Praise God that I am called by His name. Praise God that this morning, if you are not saved, you can be too. But 2 Chronicles 14 is written to the people that God has. But then it goes on, shall humble themselves. It's not just the people that God has, but it's those people getting rid of the pride that God hates. Pride is rampant in our local churches this morning. The Bible says that pride is an abomination to the Lord. God hates pride. But here it is in our churches today, and I trust that it's not in this church. And if it is, let's get right. Let's get rid of it in our lives, because there's no easier way to thwart God's dealing in your life than to have this sin of pride in your life. And God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, if they'll just get the right perspective in their lives, if they'll just stop comparing themselves among their peers and get comparing themselves to God Almighty, that's when humility starts to really take its toll. If you're having a pride problem in your life, let's just do what Isaiah did.
He got a sight of God. And when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he had no other recourse than to bow his face before God and say, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm miserable. I'm nobody. That's where we need to be. Hey, look, I don't think people should walk around and think they're worse than the worm, you know, and walk around with a, you know, nobody likes me, everybody hates me because I'm a nobody, you know. No, you're a child of God if you're saved. You're royalty if you're saved. But folks, we need to get rid of pride in our lives. And in our churches. In our churches, we serve God when we want to. We worship God how we want to. We give God what we think we can afford to. We ask God for help only when we need to, and we will never have true revival if we are doing things the way we want to. Because we have a human heart that's desperately wicked. That's the way it is. Revival is not natural. It is not natural to humanity, because in order to have revival in your life, you've got to realize that you are nobody compared to God. And the Bible says in Psalm 10:17, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Isaiah 57:15 says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You see, God says, I'm looking to revive those that are humble before me. Do you need a good dose of humility? Do we need just to come before God and fall on our face and say, okay, God, I'm done. I'm done thinking I'm somebody. I'm done trying to live my life the way I want to. I'm done, God. I'm done. I just need you to help me see that I am a servant of you and not even worthy of you. That's the place where it begins. It's the people that God has, getting rid of the pride that God hates. But let's not stop there, because he's also talking about the prayer that God hears. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, we ought to offer the prayer that God hears. Our country needs prayer this morning. And I know there are some people of the persuasion that, man, I didn't vote for him, so I ain't praying for him. That's unbiblical. Pastor mentioned, we are commanded by God to pray for all those that are in authority. Folks, we better get on board with praying that Mr. President Obama gets saved. Because we can complain all we want about his politics, and we can say how they don't line up with God's word. But what do you expect? He is an unregenerate human being. He's not been saved. You say, well, God, can God save President Obama? He saved me. He saved you. I believe that if President Obama got saved, you say, well, I don't think he'd listen. Well, can we give him a chance? When was the last time you got on your knees and just begged God that President Barack Obama would get saved? That's what he needs. You want to see a change happen in a man? You see Jesus Christ move in. But how can we expect this great change without Jesus Christ being present? We can't. Oh, folks, we need to pray for our country this morning. We need to pray for our president. Folks, we need to pray for mercy. I believe America is in the crosshairs of God's judgment. We've put ourselves there. Because our churches have stopped standing up for what's right and have just taken a back burner stance on a lot of issues. And I'm not saying we ought to go picket and go out there and, you know, make all sorts of problems for people. But what I'm saying is, because the child of God has stopped preaching boldly the message of God, there are a lot of people that don't know God. And because they don't know God, they're going to just do things that don't please God. We've gotten to a place now in our country where if you start preaching the whole counsel of God, you are looked at as somebody who is intolerant and somebody who is speaking hate speech. How have we gotten here, folks? We've gotten here because we've not obeyed the voice of God. You need to pray for mercy. The prayer that God hears. George Mueller said that prayer is unshackling the hands of the Almighty. And let me just say this. There is a necessity in prayer for revival. You've got to beg God and ask God. Once you are a person that God has, and once you have, you get rid of the pride that God hates, and you need to then get on your face before God and seek His face and say, "Oh God, bring revival. Oh God, send revival." That's what it takes. You look at every great awakening that's happened in our country, and you will see a very evident reason for it. Because people started praying. People started praying. "Oh God, send revival, and let it begin with me." We see that the Bible says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face." And here we go. "And turn from their wicked ways." You see, it's the people that God has, getting rid of the pride that God hates, offering the prayer that God hears, but then giving God the penitence that He must have. Folks, God will not bless the heart that is not clean. He cannot. He will not. Why? Because that's not the way He works. Because God is holy. We've not talked about God's holiness enough in our country today. And holiness, when we think about holiness, we think about the 50s and the 40s and the 30s and the 20s. Why can't we think about holiness when it comes to 2013? Did God stop saying, "Oh, well, be ye holy, except if you're living in 2013. Then I kind of understand the culture. I kind of understand the society. I kind of understand that it's a little more difficult to live a holy life. So I'll give you a pass." God didn't say that. But we've left off this holiness we've got to have. And the way we get to the holiness that God wants us to have is by getting rid of sin in our life. I'm amazed by the people that just let sin sit and fester in their lives. And they're born again children of God. They've been going to churches most of their life. They know all the recourses of sin. They know the laws of sowing and reaping. They can tell you every verse probably they need to know about getting rid of their sin. But practically, they don't care if it's in there. And then they wonder why they let that sin fester, and then they get under bondage of sin. And then they're making choices in their lives that are causing them to go astray from God, and they fall out of God's house. And they you look at them years down the road and you say, "You were a Christian? You wouldn't even know." Why is that happening? Because sin ruins and sin destroys. And God says, if you want revival, if you want God to work with God's power in your church and in your lives and in your country, you've got to get rid of the sin. Got to get rid of the sin. Turn from your wicked ways. Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Folks, can I say it like this? It is not the sin of the homosexuals that is keeping revival from America.
It is not the sin of the adulterers that is keeping revival from America. It's not the sin of the abortionists that is keeping revival from America. It's not the sin of the drug addicts. It's not the sin of the drunkards. It's not the sin of the pornography industry that's keeping revival from America. It's not the sin of the pedophiles that is keeping revival from America. It is the sin of the unrepentant child of God that is keeping revival from America this morning. And the most patriotic thing you could do this morning is to fall upon your face before God and say, "Oh God, forgive me of my sin. Oh God, hear my prayer. Oh God, accept my humility, because I want revival." That's what we need this morning. Because until then, God will not heal our land. God is just waiting for his people to come clean with him before he blesses with revival. Oh, folks, our country's in a mess. Oh, folks, how could we turn a cold shoulder to what our country is experiencing today? How could we turn a cold shoulder to the effects of sin that is evident in our country? How can we turn a cold shoulder when we think of events like Newtown, Connecticut? We think of events that are happening within our schools. How can we turn a cold heart in knowing that, oh, if we have revival, it doesn't really matter or not? How could we say that? Our country's hurting. Our families are hurting. Look at the average American family. And it's fragmented. It's in trouble. The kids are going wayward. Look at our universities and look at the up-and-coming leaders of our country. And boy, I'm scared. I'm scared when I look at some of the local universities around us. It concerns me. We're raising up a generation that knew not God and didn't know his works. And aren't taught his works. And if they're being taught at all, they're being taught that God doesn't exist. Help us. Oh, help us. Our country is hurting. But we know that. What's it going to take for us to really get serious with God? Because it's the people that God has. Getting rid of the pride that God hates. Offering the prayer that God hears, giving him the penitence that God must have, before finally we see the promise that God honors. I'm so thankful that we have promises in God's word, aren't you? I'm so thankful. But I'm so thankful that we have a God that never has one time let up on a promise. There's not one promise in God's word that he has not honored. And if God said he's going to do it, it's done. He's going to do it. And there are some promises that God automatically does. But this here is a conditional promise. Because God here is saying, I will hear from heaven and I will heal your land if you are a person called by my name, humbling yourselves and praying and seeking my face and turning from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Folks, take heart this morning that if you make the major changes according to God's word in your life and you take the steps of 2 Chronicles 7:14, that you're not going to do it for naught, because God gives you a promise that if you follow these dictates of 2 Chronicles 7:14 and you humble yourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways, we have a promise from God that God will heal our land and God will forgive our sin and he will hear us. There's no doubt about it. I feel so sad for people that don't have the promises of God. I feel sad for those who are lost. They don't have any guarantee like this, but we do. Oh, folks, the promise that God honors, he's going to honor. And the first and second Great Awakening used this recipe as believers called upon God and repented of their evil ways, that America was engulfed with revival.
But believer, God can still bring revival to America. I love the promise of Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and thine outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Nothing. You say it's going to take a work of God to bring revival upon America. Absolutely. But praise God, He's interested in doing it. God wants revival in our lives more than we want revival in our lives. Folks, God wants to bring a revival to America, but is waiting on us to do it. Remember, America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. But I want to turn your attention as we close this morning to Psalm 119. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119 and look at verse 126. I want this to be our prayer as we close this morning. As we close this morning, may our prayer in this attitude of revival and this attitude of getting right with God, may this be our prayer in Psalm 119, verse 126. Look at what David says. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. It's time. It's about time. But this morning, it's time. We have disregarded the laws of God, haven't we? We sure have. I heard a man say not too long, a commentator say about this whole thing that's happened recently, that we don't need another law concerning gun control because we already have a law. It's been on the books for quite some time. And it's the law that says, thou shalt not kill. It's been on the books for a long time. It comes with 9 others. But to mention those, we wouldn't be allowed to in our culture because we'd have to bring God into it, he said. He's right. Folks, it is time. It's time. It's time for children of God who are just not serious about loving and serving Him to come and to get serious. It is time for us to get a good dose of humility like we need. It is time for us to seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. It is time for Thee, O Lord, to work. It's time. Will you let God work this morning? Let's pray.